The reading this morning is taken from Luke chapter 1, commencing at verse 67. John's father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the desert until he appeared publicly to Israel.
Good morning, everyone. So I'm just dropping my phone. This is to tell me when I've spoken for too long and I need to stop. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this message of you. And Lord, we pray that we would listen and that you would speak to us today. Amen. There is a man in South Korea who left North Korea chasing the bright lights in the big city. Chasing the, I guess, the Christmas dream of glossy presents. And he defected from North Korea. He got to South Korea, and he spent some years now in South Korea, and he wants to go home. And he said this, "I'm lonely." And most of the defectors think like this, he said. "South Korean people don't want to socialise with us. They don't treat us like human beings. Even though North Korea is poorer, I felt more free there. Neighbours and people help each other and depend on each other. Life is simpler there, and here they are just slaves to money." Christmas is one of those times in Australia that brings out everything that's kind of essential to the Australian spirit. Our great dream at Christmas time is to relax and not have to do anything at all. But of course, the thing that we do at Christmas time is we do absolutely everything. We work really hard to try and finish everything off so that we can have some time. We're really stressed because we're trying to organise everything. There's a whole lot of social signalling where we show that, oh yes, I'm just as good as that other person. I've got a Christmas tree that's almost as good looking as my brother-in-law's Christmas tree. And so on and so forth. I'm going to have my ham with the glaze that Curtis uses that keeps getting advertised to me on the television. And so we can say to each other, look, just don't, I'm busy getting into the Christmas spirit. Now is not the time. And so Christmas has traditionally been a great time to release terrible news into the electorate because none of us care. Not because we're terrible, uncaring people, but because we're just too busy. We just don't have the capacity to care at this time of year. We just need to make it to Christmas, and then after Christmas we'll collapse over the line and we'll cope with the credit card debt in January. Is that the Christmas spirit? That's what the Australian Christmas looks like. Is that what our Christmas is supposed to look like? Well, we've been unwrapping Christmas over the last few weeks, and today we hear, as Zechariah is filled with the Holy Spirit, a slightly different take on Christmas, don't we? And the first thing that Zechariah says is that God has come. That's why we do Christmas. It's because God has come. That's big news. Zechariah sings in verse 68, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people." And then in verse 76, we learn that God is on his way because John, Zechariah's infant child, is going to go on before the Lord to prepare his way. And in verse 78, we hear that the rising sun will come to us from heaven. Zechariah says it's a sure thing. God has come. God is coming. God will come. God has come as a fulfillment. You can see in the first verse that he is the Lord, the God of Israel. And the whole song is chock full of references to the Old Testament. And especially twice Zechariah says it straight out. He says in verse 70 that God has done what he said he would through the prophets. And he says in verse 72 and 3 that God has remembered his covenant and his oath to Abraham. God has come and he's suddenly active. He's come, he's redeemed his people, he's raising up a horn of salvation. There's more doing. There's showing mercy, remembering, rescuing, enabling, coming to shine, coming to guide. God has come and he's getting busy. And finally, God is at work in the person of his Messiah. That's what it means for God to raise up a horn of salvation. That's an expression that comes from the Old Testament, from the stories about David, where the prophet would pour the oil from the horn onto the king and demonstrate that, yes, this is the ruler that God has appointed for his people. God has raised up a new ruler for his people. He's anointed him. And so he's going to be a horn of salvation. He's going to be strength. God isn't going to stay distant in his work. He's going to come like the rising sun coming down out of the sky, like kind of shifting the lamp and giving us a different angle of the light. The rising sun will come to us from heaven. In the person of his Messiah, God has come. The promises to the old prophets are going to be fulfilled. The promises, the even older promises to David, are going to be fulfilled. The covenant from Mount Sinai is going to be fulfilled. Even the oath to Abraham is going to be fulfilled. Zechariah says the Christmas story doesn't start with Jesus' birth. It doesn't even start with John's birth. It starts way back with God promising Abraham, "I'm going to bless you and I'm going to bless the whole world through you." And so we sing joy to the world because the Lord has come. What does it mean that God has raised up a horn of salvation? That's the picture that Zechariah uses. Here are some national flags. Can anyone tell me what any of these are? Kenya.
Mozambique,
well done. All right, so Kenya is the black and red and green one. And what's in the middle of the Kenyan flag? It's a shield and two spears. It's a symbol of strength. The one just to the side of Kenya is Swaziland. Very similar idea. A shield, two spears. I'm not quite sure what the fluffy stick is, but I think someone with a shield and two spears, I'm not going to tease them about their fluffy stick. Barbados has Neptune's trident. And yes, Mozambique, awesome, has an AK-47. Just to say, yes, we're a strong country. We had a communist revolution against our colonial overlords and a civil war and all kinds of terrible stuff. What's the symbol of strength in each of these? There's this sort of harking back to tradition for the Kenyans and the Swazis. There's a, yes, we're going to be remembering our violent revolutionary roots. For the Mozambicans and for the, what do you call people from Barbados? Barbadians? They remember that they are an island people. In our culture, we don't normally talk about horns as symbols of strength. We talk about swords or perhaps cricket bats. It was a bit late in the day for me to get Steve Smith holding up his cricket bat, but there's Luke Skywalker holding up his cricket bat. This is what we do in our culture. We go, yes, look how strong I am. Maybe we hold up a fist or we hold up a cricket bat. We hold up a sword. And we say, look how strong we are. Look, God has saved us and he's raised up this symbol of strength. That's what Zechariah is saying. What's the strength that you're relying on to save you? What's on your flag? Is it military strength? Or is it money in the bank? Just a big pile of cash sitting on your national flag. Is it that your family gives you unconditional and perfect love? And you're going to make sure of that because you're going to have the absolutely most perfect Christmas this year, just to remind them that they need to keep loving you. Is it your education? I'll be okay, I've got a degree. Is it that you protect your heart because you've got this hard shell of cynicism around it, that nothing's going to crack, and so your heart isn't going to be broken, and your heart isn't going to be melted, because you've seen it all before, and you can explain it all away. Zechariah had his great praise moment, his raise up the cricket bat and celebrate the double century kind of moment, because he waited on the Lord, because of Jesus. Now, he didn't even know Jesus, but we do. So the way for us to have that great moment is for us not to rely on all those other things, but to rely on Jesus, to rely on his strength to save us, and we won't be disappointed because God has come. And God has come to save us. Zechariah uses the word salvation three times. Verse 69, verse 71, and then verse 77 as well. And then he uses mercy twice. Verse 78 and back in verse 72. Salvation and mercy are really important to Zechariah. The other thing that he talks a lot about are enemies and those who hate. And he talks about fear. And later he talks about darkness and the shadow of death. And he talks about the sins of God's people. On one hand you've got salvation and mercy, and on the other hand you've got enemies and fear and sin and death. Zechariah says God has come, but because of all this bad stuff, God has had to come to save us. And that's the really good news. And he unpacks salvation into four things that the Messiah is going to do. God has raised up a horn of salvation, salvation from our enemies. One, to show mercy. Now this has been a long wait for the Jews through a long, dark, hostile period when they've been abandoned by God. Why were the Romans in charge when Jesus was born? Well, because the Romans had pushed out another group of foreign rulers who in their turn had pushed out another group of foreign rulers and so on back to the point where the Jews were left to their enemies because God had abandoned them. God didn't save them and give them peace because they had walked away from the covenant. They had abandoned him. They didn't want to be his people and so he stopped being their God. But now the rise of the Messiah shows that God is showing mercy. Mercy to them, mercy to their fathers who got them into this mess. Mercy even to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Even though they have never kept up their end of the deal, God is going to keep up his end of the deal. That's what it means to remember his holy covenant. God is not the one who forgot the holy covenant, but he's going to come through on it. He's the one fulfilling what he swore to Abraham. Now, this is not a salvation that they've achieved. And so it's right that it's a rescue. They're being rescued from their enemies. And finally, Zechariah can see that God's salvation is designed to enable his people. God's people were too weak to serve him. They weren't holy. They weren't righteous. They couldn't do it. Now, you know the old saying, you can fool some of the people some of the time, etc. Well, you can never fool God. He's not any of the people. They weren't holy, they weren't righteous, they couldn't be in his presence because of his holiness and righteousness. But God wants to enable his people to serve him. Now, you'll usually find that Australians who aren't Christians will have a kind of, that they'll have heard of Jesus and they'll have a kind of weakly positive view of Jesus. They will go, yeah, he's a good moral teacher or something. But it's harder to sell us on the idea that Jesus rescues us. Because for that, we have to admit that we need rescuing. As we look at Zechariah, we have to admit that, we need mercy because we're guilty. Or, we're forgetful and we need God to remember us because we don't remember him. Or that we're captive and we need rescuing. That even this wonderful system that we're part of that gives us all this individual freedom, for some people, they would rather go and live under the dictator Kim Jong-un because people here are just slaves to money. And we see that even as Zechariah promises that God can enable us, well, in that we see that we're weak. We're not holy, we're not righteous, we can't do it. But God tells us about our sin by telling us about our Saviour. That he's come and that he's come to save us, to make us holy and righteous. Because God has come to save his people so that we can serve him. Jesus wants to prepare you. He wants to enable you to be holy and righteous and be in God's presence forever. That's quite a practical view of human nature, isn't it? The Christmas message sometimes feels to me like, let's all make an effort to get along. At least just for this particular meal. Or maybe let's all try to be the best that we can be for this month or for this week. Don't worry, we'll all get January off to recover from trying to be holy and righteous for 6 days. That's what the Christmas message feels like sometimes. But, you know, the spirit of Christmas is actually the Holy Spirit. And this is what the Holy Spirit says. The Holy Spirit says, I want to make you holy and righteous. The Holy Spirit says, I've gone to the effort to make you holy and righteous. The Christmas spirit isn't about you working yourself up into a better version of yourself. It's about me working you up into a better version of yourself. In fact, I've already come as the better version of yourself and grown and lived and died on the cross and risen again. God has raised up for us a horn of salvation. I've made the effort to be the best in you, and so now you need not the best you. You need Jesus. And this same very realistic, practical opinion of human nature is there in the second half of Zechariah's song too. Because John needs to go and prepare the way for the Lord. People will know that they are saved when they know that we have forgiveness of sins. And it's all about God's mercy. John needs to get God's people ready, and he's going to do that by preaching forgiveness of sins by the tender mercy of God. And there's a very practical strain too in that image of the path of peace where Zechariah finishes his song. The rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on us as we live in darkness and the shadow of death. The thing about darkness is you can't see where you're going. But Jesus comes and he shows us where our feet need to go. Now, what this tells me is that peace is a path and not a chair. God doesn't save us so that we can concentrate on other things. Oh, great, I've got that sorted out. Now I can move on to the next problem. And when all the problems are all lined up in a row, then I can rest. HSC results came out this week. I don't know if you know anyone who's just managed to do the HSC, and I know for most parents there's a feeling of, well, thank goodness that's over. And I think for a lot of students there's a feeling of, well, thank goodness that's over. I've got that done. That's out of the way now. I can get on with the rest of life, which will have nothing to do with anything that I did in the HSC. But for some of those people, there's going to be a nasty shock when they turn up to university in March or April or whenever it is they finally have to turn up again. And they find that some of that stuff they got examined on in the HSC, they actually need to know. They're expected to that the maths that they learned in high school will be maths that they'll use again sometime. The HSC is not just the end point, it's actually the start of the next phase of life. It's, theoretically at least, high school is supposed to prepare you for the rest of life. Salvation's a bit like that, isn't it? We think, yeah, I just need to get saved. Once that person's saved, they'll be fine. But peace is not a chair. It's a path. Jesus doesn't just come to save us. The Australian who says, well, Jesus was a great moral teacher, they're kind of right. He's not just your saviour, he's your great moral teacher. He's going to tell you how to live. He's going to tell you what you need to know to pass the final exam. He's quite a good teacher, really. His material is always relevant. By the tender mercy of our God, the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. So as you walk, as you follow Jesus in the path of peace, keep on walking. You don't have to run. You don't have to take shortcuts. But you do need to keep on walking where Jesus is telling you to go. And you can rely on the tender mercy of God. Some of the really big problems of our society, I don't feel like I can solve on my own. And some of them, even if I do the thing that is right for me to do, it's not going to fix the problem. It's like a vegetarian who thinks that by not eating meat, they're going to make everyone else not eat meat. All I can do is what Jesus wants me to do, and trust him to deal with everything else. And sometimes there'll be more that we can do. Sometimes there's less. We are weak. We are captive. But Jesus is a great saviour. And God has come to save his people, to serve him. So praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. Merry Christmas.